your forehead, or you will be killed if you do not follow the protocol. All right. How can you get an entire world, all people, to fall in line to that and go along with it? Well, number one, you're not going to get everyone to fall along with that, because the Bible-believing Christians will not be here. And there will be those that will rise up against that that government, that one world leader and that one world system with the one world church and all of that, the image and the beast that you have to worship, all right? But I'm glad that even in the tribulation we've already looked at, people will be getting saved, all right? Different dispensation during the seven-year tribulation. People will be getting saved. There's 144,000 Jewish evangelists that will be preaching during that time. But again, during that time, how do you get an entire world to fall in line? How do you get people to go along with the program that is not of God? It is anti-Christ. It is anti-God, anti-Bible. Well, you have to start now by programming people, conditioning people to accept what's coming. What is the one thing people love right now? What's the one thing people love right now, the time that we're living in? Does anybody know? How many of you have a cell phone? Technology. Because, you know, the older generation probably doesn't like these. I don't really like these either, because it's always crashing on me. It's always not doing what I want it to do. But again, technology, people love technology because it's convenience. Let me ask you, how many of you are still carrying cash and coins in your pocket or in your purse? Okay, not too many. Only three people raised their hand. Because what are we used to? We're used to credit cards. But now we're used to, if you have an iPhone, the wallet. You got your credit card information on your phone. You can just go up to the cash register, put your phone there. Everything's deducted. It's convenient. But what does convenient teach us? What does convenient do in people's lives? It will cause us to accept whatever's coming. All right? Because people love convenience. That's why people will, in the tribulation, they will accept the mark of the beast, because you cannot buy or sell without the mark of the beast. There'll be those that will reject it, all right, during that time. The Jews will reject it, all right? Others will reject it as well. But you have to condition people to accept what's coming, all right? Again, this is all introduction. How many genders are there? According to God, how many genders are there? Two. According to the world, it's innumerable, all right? People are just whatever they want to be, okay? God created two genders, male and female, all right? But again, the school system, the public school system, is conditioning kids and conditioning adults to just accept whatever they say, all right? So it's all about conditioning. What should be conditioning the Christian's mind? What should be conditioning the Christian's mind? Should it be the mainstream news media? No. Should it be anything that's labeled Christian? No. Because not everything that's labeled Christian is of God, but it is the Bible. God's word is what should be conditioning us, should be helping us to have the mind of Christ and to see what's coming. Do you see what's happening in the world today? Do you see how it is ushering this world closer and closer to the one world government, the one world church, the one world system, the Antichrist? Now you got Israel in a war, and you've got two different sides to that. People believe that Israel is right because they're protecting themselves. Others are saying Israel is wrong because they're killing people. But Israelites were killed, right, on October the 7th. But anyway, it's conditioning people to believe something that's going to help them in their life better. So again, like I like doing, bringing you some news articles from a Christian news source, the Wine Press News. right? The first one is the banking bust. Major banks close thousands of branches nationwide as more signs of collapse grow. So more and more banks are closing. What's that going to do? If more and more banks close, who are we going to, I just say we as in people, not necessarily Christians, but who are we going to turn to for economy, for money? Because what is it they want us to do? They want us to go all digital, right? Again, it's convenience. There's really nothing wrong with having, you know, the ability to pay my bills online and all that. But again, it's all about conditioning people to accept what's coming, right? Which the Bible specifically teaches against, all right? Because we've already looked at it, but in Revelation chapter 20, it tells us anybody who takes the mark of the beast in their right hand or their forehead, they cannot be saved. They're doomed. Once you take the mark of the beast, that's it. You've crossed that line with God. And as we looked at last week, they will experience the second death. Because in verse 14 of Revelation chapter 20, death and hell were cast into a lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. We'll get more into the book of life in a minute. But again, banks collapsing. Everyone's looking where they can put their money. They want people, obviously, to go digital. And there are countries that are going completely digital right now. But again, it's all about controlling people. How do you control people? You control their health. You control their wealth. And you control their food. Because people want to survive. We need food to survive. But what is it that they are now pushing us towards to start consuming? Bugs. They want us to start consuming bugs. Stop eating so much meat and become an animal and start eating bugs. It's all about conditioning, all right? But how are you going to get people to stop consuming meat? All right? I don't trust the CDC, but the CDC director, Cohen, says the triple-demic of COVID, flu, and RSV is back. A few years ago, we had the pandemic, or as we rightly like to call it, the plandemic, all right? What happened during that time? They forced a worldwide shutdown. Mandates. Forcing people to obey their mandates, all right? Believe it or not, all of that was planned, all right? Just as things are starting to be planned again, there is going to come another pandemic, and they're already starting to cite it. Again, these sources, the WHO, the World Health Organization, the world media sound alarm, on pneumonia outbreak in China with fears of spread to the West. So again, there's another pandemic coming. It's all about conditioning people to go along with the Antichrist who will rise up at a point with his perfect plan of peace, that seven-year peace treaty with Israel. All right? But everyone wants to live. Everyone wants to live. All right, personally, I'm ready to go because I know where I'm going. There is a place prepared for me by my Savior. I'm ready to go because there's no death, there's no sorrow, there's no deception, there's no more fighting the devil, there's no more having spiritual battles, all right? But you need to be warned and you need to stay vigilant and sober and keep your eyes open to what's going on in the world and even in our own country because, again, it's all about control, all right? It's all about control, all right? But here they've got this pneumonia outbreak in China. You go on to read the article, and it talks about this pneumonia outbreak has mainly been in children. It's mainly in children right now is what they're seeing in China, all right? So, with that being said, the WHO approves emergency use of the updated Novavax COVID-19 vaccine for all 194 member states. So all countries that are a member of the UN, all right, or member of the WHO, all right, the World Health Organization, they're now being told, hey, we have this new vaccine. It's an emergency use. Do you know what that means? The first COVID vaccine was under the emergency use, all right? It hadn't been tested. What has been happening with people who have received that vaccine? They've been dying. The vaccine is not helping people. But the mindset for years has been vaccines are good. They've conditioned people to believe vaccines are good. Therefore, they push the vaccines on people, on children, and you have young, healthy people just dropping dead of heart problems. All right? So again, I mean, don't believe everything that you hear coming out of the World Health Organization or by any government. All right? Then you have in Denver, right here in our own country, Ebola vaccines administered for the first time ever at the Denver Health Clinic. All right? People want to live. Nobody wants to die. People will do whatever they can to live as long as they can. But if you want to live for eternity, who do you need to trust? Jesus Christ, right? You need to trust Jesus Christ. Now, again, if they can control your health, again, people want to live, and people generally will just do whatever the doctor says. Take the pill, take the shot, whatever. Have you noticed, though, whenever you're prescribed medication for diabetes or heart issues, blood pressure, there's always side effects to those medications, and therefore, because of the side effects, you got to take other medication. Well, that medication has side effects, and you just have to keep taking medication, and you're destroying your body, all right? So here, the United Nations demand countries consume less meat and curb livestock production, and they hint at a 50% global production rate. Now, I love meat. I love chicken, all right? Again, if you're going to control people, you have to get rid of what they want, right? The meat, the chicken, and all of that. Right before Thanksgiving, 1 million turkeys were killed because they had a disease. All right, there are chicken farmers, all right, or chicken farms, I should say, that their chickens are being killed because the government's coming in there and saying, oh, there's one bird that has the bird flu, so you got to kill them all. That's control. They want to just take away our right to be able to raise our own meat and produce our own food, all right? Now, here's another one. Swine flu strain is detected in man for the first time ever in the UK, all right? First time ever. A human has the swine flu. So guess what? You better get the vaccine so you don't get the swine flu. And then in Cambodia, a woman and child contact the bird flu as the outbreak fear still persists. I mean, all of this is just to condition people, hey, give up your rights, give up your freedom, let the government take care of you because the government knows best. The government has the solution to everything. And yet it's all planned by world leaders, all right? But when you look at Revelation chapter 20, all right? Again, I don't bring you these news articles to cause you to fear. God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. But you're not going to see and hear this in the news media, the mainstream news media, all right? You might hear, you know, little bits and pieces here and there, but no one's going to spend time on it. You got to find some Christian resources, all right? Because the Lord did say that if it were possible, even the elect could be deceived by the Antichrist. That's just how good he's going to be, because he deceives the entire world, all right? But let's not be deceived now and just go along with everything that they tell us to do, all right? God gave us freedom. God gave us meat. Whether you eat meat or not, that's not the issue. The issue is this is the Antichrist system. It hasn't been revealed yet, all right? The rapture hasn't happened yet. We've got the seven-year tribulation that's going to be ushered in, all right, very soon, all right? Not putting a date. No one could put a date on it. Only the Lord knows when that starts. But God has shown us we can know how close we are to it. And when you're just seeing the technology and everything that's going on and being advanced with AI and all of that, I mean, there's so more stuff I could share with you this morning just with the AI and all of that, but that's just all part of the end of the world and how they're going to use the AI robots and everything. But looking at chapter 20, I want to read, I want to read verse number 11 through 15. Verse 11 through 15. We've already talked about last week the battle of Gog and Magog. The Lord's been reigning for 1,000 years on this earth after the tribulation. All right. The rapture takes place. Those that are believing in Jesus Christ and have the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we're raptured out right before the tribulation starts. You have 7 years of what's called the tribulation, the first 3.5 years. There's peace. The Jews, they rebuild their third temple. They're able to go back and doing their sacrifices and all of that. All their enemies are fine with that until the 3.5 years mark. Then the Antichrist sits down in that rebuilt temple, demands to be worshipped as God, starts persecuting the people. The Jews flee. They flee and go to Petra, all right, a place that has been prepared for them. For 3.5 years, the Antichrist, he's wreaking havoc upon this earth, all right? Can't really go through all of it again, but he's wreaking havoc for 3.5 years. God gives the devil and the world what they want. You understand, the world as a whole doesn't want Christ. They want some other God. Because remember the Israelites being led by God, by the Shekinah glory of God, the pillar of fire by night, the pillar of cloud by day. God led them out of Egypt. But they got to the point where they said, you know what? We don't want God to lead us. We want a man. We want a king. Give us a king. So God gave them a king. God chose King Saul. God's the one that picked this man who was head and shoulders above everybody. But he turned out to be a bad king because he didn't follow the Lord. He didn't lead the people and fall on the Lord. So he gives Israel a king because that's who they wanted. They didn't want God anymore. They wanted a man to lead them. So God gave them, he gave King Saul. But then when King Saul dies, who does God give? God gives who he wants them to have, and that's King David. All right? And David reigns for quite some time. Again, the world as a whole doesn't want Christ. So God will give them the darkness they want for 7 years. But after 7 years, all right, the end of the tribulation, the Battle of Armageddon, the devil and all his army gathers together there in the Valley of Jezreel, Valley of Megiddo, and they go against Christ who comes down riding on his white horse, and he destroys his enemies with the sword that proceeds out of his mouth, the word of God. And he sets up his earthly kingdom for 1,000 years. 7 years under the reign of the Antichrist, 1,000 years under the reign of Jesus Christ, and at the end of that 1,000 years, there are still people that are going to follow the devil one last time to go against Jesus Christ. Sometimes I hear people say, well, you know what, I just can't trust Jesus Christ as my Savior because what about the tribes in the deepest, darkest jungles in Africa that have never heard? God is and always has been drawing people to himself. Nature speaks of its creator. Nobody is without an excuse. But just so, those that have that argument and that excuse, well, I can't believe in God because of people who've never heard and all that, right? God gives 1,000 years of sitting under the reign of Jesus Christ. You realize there'll be no death in that 1,000 years? No death, all peace. Everything's perfect. But then, at the end of the 1,000 years, as Revelation chapter 20 reminds us, the devil is loosed out of prison, out of the bottomless pit, to deceive the nations again, and they go against Christ. So nobody will be without excuse, all right? God is very gracious. God's very long-suffering. I don't understand the long-suffering of God and the grace of God quite often, especially when at the end of the tribulation, he has the devil thrown into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Why doesn't he just annihilate him right then? Why doesn't he just cast him into a lake of fire right then? No, he gives time because he's a righteous God, all right? He's a gracious God, but after the 1,000 years, again, the Bible talks about the battle of Gog and Magog. Again, that's where the devil is loosed out of the bottomless pit. He gathers the armies of the world again that they went along with Jesus Christ, but their heart wasn't in it. They worshiped him with their lips, but their heart was far from him. So when the devil appears again, well, they're all eager, and yes, we're on your side. And this time, instead of the word of God destroying his enemies, fire from heaven comes down and consumes them. Read that in Revelation chapter 20. The devil is thrown into the lake of fire. And here in verse 11 through 15, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Everybody faces a final judgment. Everybody who has not received and will not receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior face a final judgment. Death is not the end. So many people believe that death is the end. There's nothing after death, but there is eternity. God teaches us and through his word that there is life after death. If there was no life after death, I would not have put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I would continue living my life how I want to. But because I believe what God has said, and I believe what Jesus has done, dying on the cross for my sins, I've put my faith and trust in him, and I am looking for his return because he said he was coming back. When that last trumpet sounds, the dead in Christ rise, and those which are alive and remain at that time, and I hope I am alive at the time of that last trump, and I believe I will be, that we will be joined together in the clouds with the Lord. That's the first phase of his second coming, is we will be raptured out of here, and we will not have to go through these 7 years, all right? Again, so many people are going to be blinded by it because it's all about technology, convenience. As some believe that when the rapture happens, that there'll be chaos worldwide. For years, preachers have preached about when the rapture happens, there'll be chaos, cars crashing, planes dropping out of the sky because, you know, Christian pilots and, you know, Christian people that are driving the cars, you know, they're just raptured out. And there's going to be mass chaos. And then the Antichrist comes on the scene and brings his peace. I don't believe that. Because now you can see the technology we have and how the AI is just rapidly advancing. And now they even have this autonomous taxi taxi cab that China has come up with, all right, all these automobiles that are going to be just all on their own, because Tesla's car is, you can put it on autopilot, it can drive itself. You don't have to steer to anything, it'll go where you want it to go. I mean, that's kind of convenient, especially if you're on a long trip, right? When you're driving truck for 20 years, that might have been good, you know, to have it so you don't have to stay awake, just, you know, let the truck do the driving, right? So I don't believe when the rapture happens it's going to be mass chaos. I think it's going to be a celebration. I believe the world's going to celebrate all those nutty Christians are finally out of here. All those Bible-believing Christians are finally gone. Now we can have peace, because do you realize the light of Christ that shines in your life? Not everybody likes that. Not everybody likes your faith. You don't even have to be mean to somebody. There is a spirit in you, the Holy Spirit, and there is a spirit in those that are lost without Christ, a demonic spirit. And people just, they don't like the light of Christ. So, I mean, a lot of things are going to be happening. I mean, that's just what I believe, that it's not going to be chaos like some people have taught. I believe that it's going to be just, the world's going to be happy. Let me ask you this. How can you explain millions of people disappearing in an instant? In the twinkling of an eye, how can you explain millions of people? How would you explain it? Anybody want to say, how would you explain millions of people just disappearing? Abductions. Because what's a great phenomenon right now that's just coming back? It's just more in the news. UFOs. I mean, they've even say, oh, they've been living among us for a long time. I mean, they can use words. I mean, people are fascinated with, what is a UFO? What's a UFO? It's just an unidentified flying object. But because of Hollywood and movie and, you know, what does an alien look like? What does a UFO alien look like? You ever seen one? Sure you have. Look to the person next to you. You're like, they're not an alien. But what's an alien? What's the definition of an alien? Someone who's not from this world. If you are a Christian, if you're a born-again believer, you're not of this world. Where's your home? Beyond the blue, right? Your home is in heaven. We are considered aliens. We're considered sojourners, right? We're going through this world, but this world is not our home. So as people are getting more hyped up about UFOs and, oh, you know, all these aliens and stuff, all just, it's going to be great because they're going to just bring us our technology, their technology. They're going to help us to know how to run civilization and all of that. And they're going to tell us what's causing all the problems in our world, which are those nutty Christians. We need to just get them out of here. All right? Because lots of people have their stories of being abducted. I remember being a little boy in the late 70s, and my cousin and I, we were at church on a Wednesday night, but we weren't in church like we were supposed to be. Kids were in one building, parents were in another building, and we, you know, went out the back door because we just wanted to go play and have fun. So we were in the woods. We were in the woods, and I just remember, I have no idea what it was, but we thought we saw a UFO. We were so freaked out. We just ran back to church and said, we're never doing this again. I think it was just God telling us, boys, get in church, all right? But regardless, they're going to use things like that to help people believe something that's not true. Let me just ask you, who's the problem? The Bible-believing Christian or those that follow Lucifer? Those that follow the devil, all right? But again, very quickly, when you look at verses 11 through 15, this judgment, this final judgment for those who are lost without Christ. John says, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. They could not hide from the Lord. There was no place. They all appeared before the Lord, before the great white throne judgment of God, and there was no place found for them. In verse 12, I saw the dead, John says. I saw the dead, small and great, people that, again, those that were great, those that, you know, according to the world standard, were important people, and then those that were small, those that were just, you know, ordinary people. They, to the world, they had no standing. They didn't mean anything, all right? Everyone there, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. The books, what books? And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. What books were opened? The book of life was opened, all right, the Lamb's book of life. But the other books, I want you to look first at, oh, let's see here. Go back, if you would, to Daniel. If you got your Bible open, go back to Daniel. Daniel chapter 12. So Daniel chapter 12, and I want you to think about the most important book. How many of you love reading books? Is anybody here a bookworm? You just love reading books. I know Miss Julia does. All right. That's it? One person just loves reading books? Two people love reading books. What's wrong with the rest of us? I just let, you know, my phone read to me or something. Books, I don't know. I'm just not a reader, all right? I read the Bible, but any other books, if there's pictures, I'll flip through. Okay, I know what the book is about. I don't need to read it. But like I've told you before, I'll go to the back of the book, read the end of the book. What's the point of reading the rest of it? Because I know how it ends, and all right? Isn't that a great thing about reading the end of the book? You ever get discouraged in life? You ever get discouraged in a day? You ever get tired of fighting the spiritual battle? You ever get tired of the resistance and the oppression from your adversary? Because sometimes the adversary has convinced Christians you're on the losing side. But when you read the back of God's book, we're reminded we're on the winning side. And the devil's on the losing side, all right? So again, reading books. But Daniel chapter 12 and verse 1, the most important book is the Lamb's book of life. The Bible says in Daniel chapter 12, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. In the book. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Just a few verses on the Lamb's Book of Life, obviously in the Old Testament, the book, all right? So Philippians chapter 4, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 3. Paul writes here, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel. He's speaking to the believers there at Philippi, all right, who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Whose names are in the book of life. Now, go back to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and I'm going a little fast, and I apologize because I do want to, we don't have too much longer, but I want to get to these other books, all right? I think probably the majority of us in here understand that it's very important that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the most important book your name needs to be written in. All right? That's a book that your name cannot be blotted out of. It cannot be erased. It cannot be tore out of, because it's the Lamb's Book of Life. And I believe written in the Lamb's blood. I believe every name in that book is written in the blood of Christ. Now, I could be wrong. I won't teach that dogmatically. That's something I believe, just reading through Scripture. All right? But when you look at Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5, Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Lord says, "He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." So the Lord Jesus promises those that overcome, they shall be clothed in white raiment, and they will not have their name blotted out of the book of life, out of the Lamb's book of life. Now, look at Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8. Again, Revelation 20, it talks about a judgment. Again, as a born-again believer, we don't have to worry about the great white throne judgment. That's not for us. There is a judgment, and we'll look at that next week, but the judgment seat of Christ, all right, where we will be judged for the things we've done in the life that the Lord gave us. From the moment of salvation to the moment we stand before him, the Lord will judge the things we did, not to see if you're good enough to get into heaven, but it's all about rewards. It's all about receiving crowns that we can cast back at his feet. And I believe even receiving jewels to put into those crowns to cast back at his feet. But Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." Now, very briefly, Revelation chapter 13 is about worshiping the beast, having the mark of the beast in your right hand, your forehead, and worshiping the beast. And God specifically has John write down that those who do worship the beast in the tribulation do not have their names written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, like, as we've talked before, because some people are worried about loved ones that refuse Jesus on this side of the tribulation, can they be saved if they go into that 7 year? If you're raptured out and you have a daughter, a son, a mother, a father, you have some relative, some friend who just, you know, you've been talking to them, you've been witnessing, you've been trying to help them to see their need of Jesus Christ, and later. They haven't full-blown rejected Christ. They just, you know, later. Then the rapture happens. They're not cut off. That's how gracious and loving God is. Just because the rapture takes place, those that are left behind, they're not cut off. They still have an opportunity to get saved. But it's not the same salvation. We've looked at the dispensation. We've looked at what the Scripture says about now when they in the tribulation, it's a work salvation. It's fearing God and not taking the mark of the beast. It's no longer grace. It's now you've got to fear God and obey what he has said, and that's don't take the mark. But once someone who takes the mark of the beast, as it says, their name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's over, all right? That's why it's important now that people get saved during the age of grace. Now it's important, but not everybody will. But praise the Lord, we've already looked at in Scripture and Revelation where there is an innumerable multitude that gets saved during the tribulation. So praise the Lord for that, Jews and Gentiles alike, all right? So we can be thankful for that, but now is the time of salvation. That way you don't have to go into this time period that's going to be worse. Nothing that history, human history, has ever seen. And in our human history, we've had dictators around the world. We've had, obviously, Adolf Hitler, who just slaughtered millions of Jews. That's child's play compared to what the Antichrist does in his 3.5-year reign when he starts slaughtering people. Now, I'm not belittling the Jews that were slaughtered by saying it's child's play, but when you compare what Adolf Hitler did to what the Antichrist is going to do, it doesn't compare. It doesn't compare. Now, very quickly, he mentions these other books. Notice in verse, go back to verse 20, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. He mentions the books as well as the book of life. And there are four books that are mentioned throughout Scripture. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Because you have to wonder, okay, so the lost people who reject Jesus Christ and they die without Jesus Christ, we know that they're going to be judged. They'll be judged for their sin, all right? They'll be judged for rejecting Jesus Christ. But God specifically says they're going to be judged by their works. Matthew chapter 12 and verses 36 through 37. I am glad that as a born-again believer washed in the blood of the Lamb, I don't have to worry about these books being opened when I stand before Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. Because these books that I am about to show you, and I'll tell you right now, because we may run out of time, is these four books. It's the book of words, the things you say. It's the book of conscience, the things you think. It's the book of secret works, the things you do that nobody else knows. And it's the book of public works, the things people do see that you do. Once you're saved and you've trusted Christ as your Savior, the blood of a lamb covers you. Your sins are forgiven. As far as the east is from the west, the Lord remembers them no more, but those that continue to refuse and reject Christ and die without Christ, everything they've done in their entire life, from birth to the moment they stand before the Lord, it's going to be revealed. It's going to be replayed back. Now, I know you probably have seen, you know, maybe if you're familiar with Chick Tracts, Chick Publications, you know, the gospel tracts, sometimes they depict, you know, this was your life, and it shows a big screen and God's replaying their life and everything they did. I don't know if it'll be like that, all right? But they will be judged. God's going to bring out everything they did. Do you remember every bad thing you've done in your life? Probably not. There's probably things you've done, I've done, that I don't remember I've done. Things I've said, I don't remember I said them. Have you ever had someone say, "You said this"? I don't remember saying that. Yeah, you did, and they can give you the date and the time because you were mad or something. I don't remember saying that. But when you think about the Lord doesn't forget. Matthew chapter 12, verse 36 through 37. Jesus says, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. That's why it's important that we are careful for what we say. Have you ever gotten mad and said something you regretted and realized you can't take those words back? But aren't you glad you can find forgiveness in Christ? Somebody will remember what you said, but if you obviously turn to the Lord with repentance in your heart because of what you did, you find forgiveness with the Lord. He forgives you. He doesn't remember it. But as humans, we always remember the wrong that somebody has done. But this is one thing that will come out. Every idle word, every word that somebody has spoken in their lifetime, every time someone used God's name in vain and said God with that other word, or even said Jesus Christ, but not lovingly, but with hatred. All of that is going to come out. Again, that's why it's important that we keep a short account of our sin and we ask for forgiveness on a daily basis, but it's got to be with a repentant heart. Again, we can't just say it. Even if you're in the car, the Lord had to help me get over this because I don't like other drivers. Other drivers don't know how to drive. I'm the only one that knows how to drive. That's my thinking. Because when I'm driving down the road and somebody pulls out in front of me and they're going 2 miles an hour, I had a hard time with that for the longest time. And I'm glad that every word that I said is now covered under the blood of the Lamb. I'm not going to stand before the Lord and Him say, well, you said this on this date, and you said this on that date, and all right. So we got to be careful. The words that we say. Do we get upset at people? Yes. Do we get agitated? Siblings get agitated at each other. Spouses get agitated. But we have to be careful. We don't just say everything that comes to our mind. Okay, well, I won't say it. I'll just think it. Well, let's go to Romans chapter 12 very quickly to look at the book of conscience. Sometimes we think, well, I'll just hold it in. I won't say anything. I'll just think about saying it. Well, that's just as wrong as if we said it. And the Lord will hold those that are standing before that great white throne judgment accountable for the thoughts. Romans chapter 12 and verse 15. Romans chapter 12 verse 15. The Bible says, you know what, back up to verse 14. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. You know when you have a bad thought, and I know when I have a bad thought. I know if it's wrong, I know if it's right. All right? Again, sometimes we think, well, if I don't say it, then I'm okay. Sometimes we think that sin is just the action of saying a word or the action of doing something outside the mind. And no, God considers the thoughts, again, just as bad as the action of saying words that are wrong or doing an action. So every thought, whether it was a lustful thought, whether it was a greedy thought, whether it was a hateful thought. You know, I don't answer this, but have you ever thought that somebody should die? I wish they would just die. I wish they would just be taken out of my life. Well, those that have bitterness in their hearts have those types of thoughts, and they will be accounted to the Lord for that. Very quickly, it's already 11 o'clock, but very quickly, go to Romans chapter, no, go to, oh, where I want to go here, Ecclesiastes. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, right? So the book of words, the book of conscience, and the book of secret works. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. So Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 14. We'll even back up to verse 13. As Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Before the cross of Calvary, it was a work salvation. It was fearing God and keeping the commandments. All right? But at the cross of Calvary, when Christ died for our sins, now it's grace. And we're living in the age of grace where we're trusting in the blood of Jesus Christ. But Solomon says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So the secret works, again, they will be brought out at the great white throne judgment among those who are lost, rejected Christ, died without being washed in the blood of the Lamb. Last place here, the book of public works. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. So as Revelation tells us, the books being opened, again, they're going to be judged for the things they said, the things they thought, the things they did. They'll hear all of that, all right? And you will have those that say, Lord, Lord, didn't we do all this in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we have church in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? And they will hear the Lord say, I never knew thee. Depart from me, thou that workest iniquity, because their name's not written down in the Lamb's book of life. When you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 15, the Bible says, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Their end according to their works. Not every church is a true church. Not every minister, not every person that's called a pastor or a bishop is a true follower of Christ. Many churches and many men who have the title of pastor are leading people astray. I always tell, read the Bible. Don't take my word for it. Don't follow a man, follow the Lord. I love it when Paul said, follow me as I follow the Lord, because it's the Lord Jesus Christ we're supposed to be following. Paul was trying to help some people everywhere he went to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul talked about his shortcomings as well. We're supposed to be following the Lord Jesus Christ, but God has set up his church. Look at very quickly at Matthew chapter 16, last place. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 27. So again, when those that are lost without Christ are standing before that great white throne judgment, I believe there is the Lamb's Book of Life sitting there. And then on the other side, you have these four books that each person is being judged out of. You know why eternity is so long? Does eternity have an end? The answer is no. You think about all the people that have to stand before the Lord and be judged. Now, it's not going to take all of eternity to do that. I mean, everything that has happened in a person's life, it's going to be brought to mind in a blink of an eye right then. But just think about the righteous judge. Isn't God righteous? If you've been saved long enough, you've been a Bible believer long enough, you come to the conclusion, God's a righteous judge. Everything God does is right. Even when he seemingly waits to pass judgment upon the wickedness and the evilness of this world, God is righteous, and no one can ever stand before him and say he's a crooked judge who's taken a bribe. Nope, he is a righteous judge. He is a righteous judge who has given grace and has given time for people to turn from their wicked ways. But Matthew chapter 16, verse 27, Jesus says, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. According to his works. So whether the works are secret, nobody knows about it, whether they're open works that people know about, because you see corrupt politicians, you see corrupt business owners, you see corrupt cashiers, you see corrupt people in all areas of life, but we don't know everything, what everybody does. We don't even know everything that you do. Sometimes we think if we're behind closed doors, nobody knows what I'm doing, nobody knows what I'm watching, nobody knows what I'm, you know, listening to. But the Lord knows. I mean, that's just something to keep in your mind, that everything we do, again, the lost are going to stand there and have the books open. But yes, you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. His blood covers your sin, but that doesn't give us a license to just sin. So just think about the fact that God's up there writing down everything that everybody does, good or bad. Every thought, every deed they're doing, he's writing it down. Man, I sure don't want that. I mean, just when you think about that, it should help us to have a heart of love for the Lord, that we want to live as the best as we can because he lived for us. Jesus lived that perfect sinless life that we couldn't live. We have grace, but it's not grace that should be taken advantage of. Keep that just in your mind, that our heavenly, loving Father knows everything we do, everywhere we go, every thought we have. Even when you're sitting in church and thinking, man, I wish that pastor would shut up. I know you guys did that. In my younger days, I thought that, like, when's he going to be done? I'm ready to go home, right? But just, I mean, think about everything. But let me ask you this, and you got to answer it yourself to yourself. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you have that perfect peace on the inside that you know you're not going to stand before the great white throne judgment? You know those books aren't going to be opened. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yeah, that's something to be excited about. That's something to be happy about, that I'm on my way to heaven. I am a child of the King. And everything in my life is a blessing from the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning for your goodness. We thank you for the truth of your word. Father, would you just help us, Lord, not to go through life just blindly going through life, not looking at life through the lens of Scripture, not allowing your word to guide our life, being the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to truly be sensitive to the time that we're living in, and, Father, to look to the Scriptures and to see what's going on in the world, and to continue preparing ourselves to meet our Lord and Savior face to face in the clouds. But, Lord, while we're preparing ourselves by allowing the Holy Spirit to continue to transform us more into the image of Christ and to produce his fruit in our life, help us, Lord, to be helping others to see their need. We can't save them. We can't change their heart. But we can sure give them a reason to ask of the hope that lies within us, because they see something different in the people of God. They see something different in those who truly believe the Bible, and they're looking for answers, they're looking for peace, and they're seeing a group of people that the world hates, but there's something different about them, and it's the light of Christ shining through them. And I pray, Father, you would help us to be that witness and that testimony, and I pray, Father, you would continue to speak to our hearts this morning. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we got about 5 minutes.